been a while. It's been a little while since we learned last. Okay, so we were talking about Moshe's adventures in Shemayim, and how Moshe Rabbeinu was negotiating with the angels and the Malach HaMaves, and everyone was giving him a hard time about Kabbalah Satorah. And they were mocking him, and they were saying, you're Basar Vadam, you're a Yalud Isha. What is this one who was born to woman doing amongst us? And in the end, Moshe Rabbeinu defended himself, and the angels were very impressed by him. And we ended off last time, if I remember correctly, talking about Moshe's place, Tachas Kisei HaKavod. How when the angels saw that this Basar Vadam, that this human being from the lower world, actually had a place under Hashem's throne, as opposed to the angels which only surround the throne. In other words, Moshe had, front row seats, and the angels were sort of watching from the bleachers, much farther out. They realized that this Adam is a force to be reckoned with. And they had tremendous respect for him, and they, in a sense, apologized to him, and acknowledged the greatness of a holy human being. Which, again, is what we're all striving for through our own Kabbalah Satorah. Okay, so let's pick up from the parish of the story. At the end of the story, if you remember, the end was that the angels, they all admitted that they were mistaken in terms of their assessment of Moshe, and they gave him gifts. They said, Moshe's beloved, and they each one gave him a gift. Okay, so let's pick up from right over here. Va'amar shekulam nasim ohavim elav, right, that everyone, each of the angels expressed love for Moshe Rabbeinu. The same Moshe who they mocked at the beginning of the story, by the end of the story they expressed love to him, and they gave him gifts. Ubir ze, ki lefi madregas Moshe, shahaya tachas kisei hakavod, v'ze b'shvil shu adam. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was an elevated adam and was able to find his place tachas kisei hakavod. Now the truth is, all of us come from tachas kisei hakavod. Which again is, forget the fact that Moshe is the greatest of men. But every man, every neshama of every Jew is from Tachas Kisei HaKavod. So it's not just that the angels realized Moshe Rabbeinu is this perfect tzaddik. They understood that Adam, because he's an Adam, actually is very special. Right? Again, how do you understand the word Adam? Adam could be Adama. The man comes from the dirt and goes back to the dirt. That's obviously nothing to be too proud of. But also, Adama is a lashon of Adame le'elyon, right? Adame, I can be dome, I can be similar to the Elyon. I can try to be similar to Hashem. And in many respects, a human being with an Hashama reflects Hashem even better than an angel. So when the angel saw how special an Adam is, that he comes from Tachas Kisei HaKavod, and that Uveshvil Kach Royal Torah, and it's for that very reason that Torah is applied to us, right? If you remember all of Moshe's response to the angels, you want the Torah, but did you leave Mitzrayim? Do you keep kosher? Do you keep Shabbos? Do you have the taivas that we're told to avoid in the Aseres HaDibros? None of it applies to you. So when the angels saw that Adam is exactly the opposite of what they thought he was, Adam is actually very chashuv, and Adam is the most worthy recipient of Torah, nasu kulam ohavim elav. They all became big fans of Moshe Rabbeinu. All of a sudden, now Moshe is a celebrity in Shemayim. They all felt a sense of connection to this. When they realized, let's just set it up as an image before we see it inside. When they realized that Moshe is the center point around which their lives revolve. Right? Because Moshe is Tachas Kisei HaKavod, and the angels are surrounding the Kisei. So Moshe is that emtza'i, that middle point, right? That focal point around which everything revolves. That's what it means when the Medrash, when the Gemara says that everyone gave him something. They gave. What does that mean? Ki kulam hei mischabrim l'madregas Moshe. Because again, if you're the outer ring of the circle, so everyone is connected, is being influenced by that center point. It has its hashpah outwards, and therefore the outside feels a sense of gratitude towards that middle point from which it draws. And therefore, it's mitchaber. V'chol asher mischaber im acher, because anything that's connected to another, harei osor acher mikabel himenu. Right? If two things are connected, that means that they're giving to one another. Now, since Moshe is the center point, he's the one who kind of holds the whole thing together, so he's giving to them. They realize, wow, we thought Moshe is just a lowly human being, and how did he get into the Shemayim? What's he doing here? what's it, his business up here? And now they came to realize, wait a minute, Moshe Rabbeinu is actually in many ways greater than us. Moshe Rabbeinu is sort of responsible for us. Moshe Rabbeinu provides for us. And therefore, they felt a sense of connection, and they wanted to what? They wanted to give gifts to Moshe. So that's what it means when the Gemara says, Kol Echad Moser Lo, that each one gave him something. Kaven Sheyesh Lehem Chibur B'Yachad, because of this deep connection that they shared. U'lamadregas Hamalachim Asher Madregasom Shesovim Makisei, and this Madrega of the angels, namely that they surround the Kisei, U'madregas Moshe Tachas HaKisei, and the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu, who is beneath the Kisei, Hare Madregas Moshe Emtzai Beneim. So again, Moshe serves as that Emtzai, as that middleman, as that center point between all the angels. Right? Everyone is that outer circle, equidistant from that middle point. Each one felt a unique connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'emtzai Yeshbo Koach HaKol. And the middle point contains within it, sort of again, the engine, the driving force behind everything. Everything that emerges, everything that's rooted or connected around it, comes from it. Umekabel min hakol. Ba'avor shu toch hakol, mischaber hakol elav. So he's connected to all of them, and they in turn are connected to him. And to highlight their recognition that they are connected to Moshe, they gave Moshe gifts. It's the way of acknowledging that Moshe Rabbeinu is a force in our life. V'lakach kol echad maser lo davar. And therefore, each of the angels gave Moshe something. And as the Gemara emphasizes, even the Malach HaMavis gave Moshe something. The Malach HaMavis, who works in this world against us, in that world, he felt the sense of bittul to Moshe Rabbeinu. He felt subservient to Moshe Rabbeinu. He felt dependent upon Moshe Rabbeinu. Va'af Malach HaMavis, shu misnagid al matzius, lo hayu misnagid al madregas Moshe. The Malach HaMavis, who opposes existence itself, he brings death to the world, he didn't oppose the Madrega of Moshe. Why? Shakol mischaber l'emtzi, ve'ein l'emtzi shum hisnagdus klal. The middle point, again, is so central to everything that revolves around it, that the Malach HaMavis, again, in the presence of Moshe, tachas kisei hakavod, is just another angel on the circle. It's just another you know, point on that outer circle. So again, while in this world the Malach HaMavis opposes life itself, in that world he feels he's connected to Moshe as well. Even the Malach HaMavis gives a gift to Moshe. Shakol mischaber le'emtzai ve'ein le'emtzai shul misnagdus klal. He writes here, and again in the footnotes of the edition that I'm using, he quotes from the Maharal's Drusha LaTorah. He explains, Ki hanigud lo yimtza v'lo yira kino lamata v'aretz. Opposition only exists, again, especially in the form of the Malach HaMavis, opposition to life, to man, exists in the lower world. V'masha odom bal guf, u'mekabel heder misa. Because in the lower world, we focus on the fact that I come from the Adama. We focus on the fact that my life is short-lived, and that eventually one will die. B'davar zeh u'misnag yedelav. So a Malach, specifically the Malach HaMavis, opposes one's existence. But the Maharal explains in the Drush al Torah, but when a person finds his place, a more permanent place in the world above, Asher Einsham Heder Vafisa, where there is no void, where there is no lack, where there is no death, Gam Hamalach Hazeh Yesh Lo Chibur Imo, Kishar Sovave Kise. Then the Malach HaMavis again has a connection to Moshe Rabbeinu, like anyone else, like any of the other angels that take their place surrounding the throne of Hashem. V'davar zeh, so now back to the Sefer. V'davar zeh yadua, ki l'kol davar yeshus nagdus, chutz min ha'emtzi. That a person opposes everything, except for what? Except for that middle point. Again, part of the idea is, and it's a very deep idea, it's much more than I understand here, and if you have a thought, please feel free to share it. Right? But the idea that everyone is equidistant from that middle point. You know, the Gemara at the end of Tanis, right? The Gemara says that at the end of days, Hashem is going to make a circle of tzaddikim, and Hashem is going to be sitting on his throne in the middle, and everyone's going to be pointing, Zeh Hashem kivinu lo, nagilo v'nismacha b'shua so. And the idea of that circle of tzaddikim, the Sefer Chassidus explained, in a circle, again, everything is equidistant. So in this lower world, you have your Hashkafa, and I have my Hashkafa, and you have your Rebbe, and I have my Rebbe, and sometimes they're fighting, and sometimes they're opposing. But when you're in the presence of the Emtzei, when you're in the presence of the source, the one in the middle, Hashem, so everyone finds their place equidistant in the outer circle, and there's no opposition. So in a similar fashion, when Moshe Rabbeinu took that center stage in Shemayim, when it was revealed that Moshe, even more than the angels, is Tachas Kisei HaKavod, they all felt a connection to him. There was no opposition to him. Not even the Malach HaMavis opposed Moshe. V'akol mischavim im ha'nakuda emtzeis, because everyone and everything feels connection to that middle point. V'yesh l'cha l'havin elu ha'dvar ma'gadolim, and you should understand these ideas well, because they're very deep ideas. Now, he points out here in the footnote that the Maharal seems to contradict himself elsewhere. Because the Maharal says that if you think about the four exiles of Jewish history, Bavel, Paras U'Madai, Yavon, and Edom, and you think of them as a box, and you think of them as surrounding the Jewish people, that point in the middle, so the Maharal elsewhere says that the four nations of the world, the four exiles of our history, each one opposes the Jewish people because they see the Jewish people as that middle point. They see that we're the center. We are the essence of what life is all about. Bereishis b'shvil Yisrael shenikru reishis. So because we are the central focus of creation, the forces that surround us, the four exiles, the four nations, those four dominant nations of Jewish history, of world history, oppose us. So he says tzarechiyan, because right here he just told us that everyone likes the middle point. Everyone can appreciate the middle point. Everyone can draw equally from the middle point. There's no hisnagdus to the middle point. And he said, this is well known, that there's no hisnagdus, that everything has opposition except for the emtzei. But why then do the nations of the world oppose the Jewish people as the middle point? So the answer, he leaves it here as tzarechiyan. He says, we need to think about this more. In the Machon Yerushalayim edition that I have here, tzarechiyan. But it could be that the answer might be partially related to the fact that, again, in this world, because it's imperfect and because it's the lower world, there can be an appearance of hisnagdus to that middle point. Again, think about the difference between the square versus the circle. The picture that's being painted in Shemayim is a circle of angels surrounding Moshe Rabbeinu in the middle. The picture I just told you at the end of the Gemara in Tanis is the circle of tzaddikim when Mashiach comes dancing around the Kadosh Baruch Hu's throne. The nations of the world, the four nations of the world, which create sort of like this box trapping Klal Yisrael in the middle, that's not a circle. That's a box. That's not a perfect circle, so to speak. That's a world where things still are within boundaries and borders. It's a thing of this world. When Mashiach comes, the circle of tzaddikim, everyone's going to be equidistant from Hashem and feel equally good about their worldview. And the angels in Shemayim, each one with a totally different mission, even the Malach HaMavis, when Moshe finds his place in Shemayim, they form a perfect circle around him. But it could be in this world, right? The Emtzei sometimes does have hisnagdus. There is opposition to the middle point. And again, that middle point is Klal Yisrael. But again, something to think about. Okay, let's do a little bit more. He says, V'gam b'shvil ha-Torah. Why else do the angels feel subservient to Moshe Rabbeinu? It's not just that Moshe is tachas kisei ha-kavod, and therefore Moshe is the engine, and they're the outer wheel. It's more than that. It's that once Moshe proves that he's worthy of Torah, so now they're subservient to Moshe. Why? Because where do the angels come from? Where does anything come from? Everything comes from the Torah. Hashem looked in the Torah to create the world. So once Moshe is proven to be, so to speak, the Bailim of the Torah, the owner of the Torah, the rightful recipient of Torah, so now the angels, which are bound by an order which was established by Torah, are also subservient to Moshe. V'gam b'shvil ha-Torah shehi shayachas l'Moshe, dafka, when they realize that the Torah is uniquely connected to Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah he seder kol ha-nimtzaim, and Torah is the order of all reality, as the Medrash tells us, shayamabit b'Torah u'bara ha-olam, that Hashem looked in the Torah to create the world, as we've explained in many places. Lefichach, kol ha-malachim yesh lahem chibur al-Moshe. All the angels, because their existence comes from the Torah, so they feel connected to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the perfect transmitter of Torah. Right, Mitzar HaTorah, he say they're calling him Tzam, since the Torah is the order of reality, and Moshe is the one to bring that reality to the world, the Torah, so they feel connected to Moshe. Umitzar also chibor v'tziruf masur midavar sheyesh l'chol echad v'echad l'moshe. So therefore, each of the angels, again, because they feel connected to Moshe, they each gave him a gift. But again, we're saying two different ways in which they felt connected to Moshe. Either when they saw that this Adam has a place, tachas kisei kavod, and they surrounded him in that way, or because Moshe is the transmitter of Torah, and everything comes from the Torah, even the existence of angels, so they feel, again, that they owe it to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's sort of the owner, the new owner of Torah, Hashem gives Moshe the Torah, they feel that they are indebted to Moshe. Kamo kol shnei dvar mashar hei mischabrim umitztarfim, like any two things that are connected. Migia mitzad achibur v'tziruv davar mishalau, any two things that are connected, there's a give and a take. So when they realize that Moshe, in a sense, as owner of the Torah, I keep using the word owner of the Torah, I know it's not a perfect way to describe it, but Moshe Rabbeinu as transmitter of Torah is, in a sense, giving the angels their life, which comes through the Torah, as all reality does, so they want to give back, so they give gifts to Moshe. Va'af malach ha-mavis maser lo davar, and again, even the malach ha-mavis has something to give to Moshe. Why? Ki af ha-malach ha-mavis yesh lo chibur v'tziruf el ha-Torah. Because even the malach ha-mavis, very nice idea, even the malach ha-mavis mission in this world is to oppose the Jewish people and to oppose life and to oppose, you know, the success of this world. But the malach ha-mavis also comes from the Torah. Shu hedder ha-nimtzam. Even though the malach ha-mavis is the void of reality, he opposes reality. Mikol makom hu mesudar min ha-Torah. But that void, that power, that authority of Chamavis also comes from the Torah. Shehi Seder HaOlam, because part of life is death. And therefore he himself comes from the Torah, and as such he's connected to Moshe, and as such he also has to give a gift to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'havein HaDvarim Elu, and understand these words well. And lastly, I'll just do one more paragraph, just to finish to the end of the paragraph. V'ka'amar b'shvil shekaro Adam kol echad maser lo davar. It says the Maharal, another reason that the angels felt that they needed to give something to Moshe is because they called him Adam. And again, they called him Adam as a term of derision. They were mocking Moshe Rabbeinu. You're an Adam, you don't belong in the Shemayim. And then they saw, wait a minute, Moshe, front and center, tachas kisei hakavod. So they felt bad. As a way of appeasing Moshe Rabbeinu, they had to give him gifts. On the one hand, the angels look at Adam and they say, we're a pure spirituality, and you're a Baal Chomer. You have a physical body. Right? And in a certain sense, the angels look down on Adam because we're Nivdal, we're transcendent. You're Gashmi, you're physical.
But
at the same time, the angels realize that what? That they have a connection to Adam. That same Adam, who on the one hand is made of a body, is also made up of pure spirit, namely the neshama. She'im lo kein, because if the angels, what? Were in a class of their own, if there was no connection to a human being, to Adam, lo hayakan chibur, then there would be no connection. And there would be no sense of wanting to give something. So the fact that the angels want to give to Adam, it's the angels realizing, wait a minute, Adam has something that is actually very connected to us. There's a part of Adam, yes, that deserves to almost be mocked. He's a Baal Chomer, he's physical. But there's a part that is also transcendent. Shari mitzad sha Adam hu Baal Chomer hu nivdal min ha-malachim. In the sense that a man has a body, that also makes him separate from the malachim. V'harei mashem akomo tachas kisei ha-kavod bein al-yonim, davar zeh mor al-chibur. But the fact that he has a place, tachas kisei hakavod, shows that he's also connected to the malachim. So on the one hand, Adam, on the one hand, is totally disconnected from the angels, and the angels know it, and they try to focus on that. But when they see that Moshe has, again, not just a place in the Elyonim, but Moshe is the centerpiece, right? Moshe is the one who's tachas kisei hakavod in the middle, they realize we made a terrible judgment call. We wrongfully assessed the greatness of this Adam. So in response to calling him Adam, again, as a derogatory term, Maser lo kol echad ve'echad davar v'zemor al achibor. They showed we in fact are connected to you. There's a part of you that's spiritual, just like us. And again, the transfer of, you know, energy, or in this sense, gifts from one to another, highlights the fact that there's a deep bond. Okay, so tonight I would guess, if we had to, you know, kind of title tonight's shir, it's the tshuva of the angels. The angels had to do tshuva over the fact that they looked down on Moshe Rabbeinu, and they saw him as nothing other than a lowly Adam. But they came to realize, what a terrible mistake. Look how dependent we are on Moshe Rabbeinu. Look how much greater, in a sense, the fact that he could be a Baal Chomer, a human being, and also have an even better seat, Tachas Kisei HaKavod, than us. The angels feel indebted to Moshe, and because of that, they give him gifts. And even the Malach HaMavis feels that sense of gratitude to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? So, Amir Tashem, next time we'll finish the parak. He'll bring one more interesting medrash about how Moshe Rabbeinu turned into Avram Avinu when he was in Shemayim, and how that was part of his response to the angels. Why is it that the angels feel subservient to Avram Avinu, maybe even more so than Moshe Rabbeinu? So we'll see about that, God willing, on Sunday night. Okay, but good to be back. Good to be back learning together. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jake. So
the summary suggests that the angels had a different level of human beings, which is why we got the Torah in the first place.
Right. Right. It's a good question. Meaning, if the angels are programmed on autopilot, so how did they ever even make this mistake? Right? Meaning, we have a notion, we have, you know, situations where angels descend from the heavens to this world and take on somewhat of a human form, and because of that, they make mistakes. But you would think an angel in Shemayim would see Moshe for who he truly is. How did they even wrongfully assess him initially? It's a good question. Right? And to think that they understood that mistake and they changed is a good question. That doesn't seem to fit the nature of angels, which are not able to choose.
Unidimensional, I've always
right, said. Right. I have to think about that a little bit more. Again, the Maharal is seeing this more as a theoretical conversation. But again, to paint the picture of an angel, the angels in Shemayim as having made that mistake seems to be, you know, different than the way, like you're saying, different than the way we usually understand the angels in Shemayim.
Is there some degree of allegory going on here?
For sure. I think the Maharal is very much, you know, we saw that in one of the earlier prakim where he said, you know, it's not that this conversation happened, but if one were to ask this question, here's how the conversation would go.
Would have gone.
Right. But even so, your question, I think, remains true. Meaning, why are we calling, you know, why? In what sense do the angels not get it, that they have to kind of learn it through this process of challenging Moshe and then Moshe responding? So that's a good question. I have to think about that a little bit more.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Lila Tov, everybody. Thank you.